Hey, gang, you know that slow jam version of the WHM theme song that we use on Screen Live, among other things? Well, you know, that audio file is exactly 52 seconds long. And in that time right now, I'm going to attempt to jam in every single tour date we have coming up for you fine folks around the world and in some states of the United variety. All right, so here we go. We're going to put in the theme song and see if I can do this. 3, 2, 1, go. All right, so let's see. First up, on February 1st, we're going to be on the internet global event, folks. Talking the Flash. Replay is going to be available for 7 days after the show. You can go straight to moment.co/WeHateMovies. Get them ticks for that. April 25th, that's 4/25, we're returning to Atlanta, Georgia for the first time in 7 years. We're going to be at the City Winery, classing it up a little bit in Atlanta, Georgia, 4/25. Then on 5/14, we're making our way to the Lone Star State, folks. Houston, Texas. We're at the Houston Improv, going to be great Houston debut. And then 5/15, Austin, Texas, our return there after 6 years away, Cap City Comedy Club. All these tickets available, all the information, whmpodcast.com. Hey, I did it. Pretty cool, eh, Ernest Borgnine?
Cool, man. Woohoo!
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to On Screen Live. My name is Andrew Jupin. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever the heck you might be finding us. If you're catching us live here on the internet, chat going crazy. What's up, Osiris87, Sandwich Jones, Dakota Green, I'm So Rachel, Sucked, Eddie Failson. Oh, yeah, this chat fucking exploding. Love you all out there. Gary Miles, Joe Myers. Hazer One Kenobi over on Twitch. How you doing, Big Daddy? Good morning, everybody. Gonna bring in my buds. We're gonna talk about grosses. We're gonna wish some people some happy birthday. Gonna talk about Doug Liman's getting fucked by Amazon, all sorts of stuff. Up first, you know him, you love him, and we've missed him, and we're glad he's back. Mr. Steven Sadak.
Howdy.
Steve changed his name. In the green room. This is a surprise to me.
Everyone had a lot of fun names and I didn't have one. So I was like, what's on my mind? Oh, yeah. I watched Dyad this weekend and it sucked so much shit. Jodie Foster, innocent. Great, great performance by her. Everything else is absolutely horrible.
Watching like Annette Bening pruning in the water and whatnot?
Pretty much. She's Annette Bening around. But the weird thing is there's so much documentary footage because it's made by two documentary, directors.
Yeah.
So that you kind of lose the point of like, why am I even watching that betting?
Why are we making this narrative when you have all this like great documentary footage?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's really annoying.
So I'm going to write Nyad Sucks tattooed right here, just so they know going forward. Yeah.
No stranger to getting back tattoos when he doesn't like a movie. Good morning, Eric Siska.
Hello. Good morning. Yes. That movie, Steve, I don't think that exists. That, The Father, Coda, those, no one has seen those. You're just making this up.
Two Oscars. And I mean, like, you know, like, and that's the weird thing is that, I mean, like, you know, we can have the argument about Greta Gerwig and all that stuff, and that those are fine arguments to have, but you could so easily swap in both Natalie Portman and Julianne Moore for both of those nominees, and you'd be in much better shape for both
May,
categories.
December robbed by the Academy.
Totally. Absolutely robbed for this dog shit movie.
Speaking of Rob, this dude fucking loves robbing the book barn every week. Here's Chris Cabin.
Of course, then we went to KFC, but it was closed at an early 8 p.m. What was not closed was Bojangles, which was across the street.
Oh, sure.
I watched Werner get in there and he asked for a full meal and they said that they were out of everything except for thighs. I saw him throw a soda at a young man,
speaking of thighs,
and many Germans, were yelling at them.
Come on, what? Show to do. Come on, show. It all fucking morning to read, dude. We got some business.
You know, you think you show. Come on.
You read so much, you think you'd be smarter by now.
No.
Wow.
Reading makes you dumber. That's the classic thing.
Right.
Much stupider.
Chris Cabin, quick question.
Yeah.
Is that a new Deftones t-shirt?
Yes, it is.
That's pretty sick. Did you see them in concert or something?
No, a friend gave me it when they went to see them.
Very cool.
The old pickup merch for me.
I was giving them a drop. Like, do it, please. Yep. I can order this on the internet.
You know, maybe reading doesn't make you dumber, but I think aging makes you a little dumber. We got some birthdays here.
Oh, I'm stupid. Ooh,
people getting a year older. I don't know. We'll see. This dude, I don't know, probably definitely brain-pilled. Happy 79th birthday to Tom Selleck.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's
a dude you'll find hiding in the bowels of CBS.
He's now actually pushing. He's done reverse mortgages. Now he's doing interdimensional mortgages, which are just another way to fuck old people is the idea.
Yeah, if you want me to put your house safely in the quantum realm, sign up.
Remember he kept getting in trouble for like watering his plants?
Avocado. He has like an avocado farm, and it was like big drought in California. Like,
and he was like,
"Hey, everybody, please stop watering your shit." And he was like, "I have an avocado farm."
That feels like a century ago, but yes, now it is coming scratching back.
Oh. It probably was a century ago. I think years are now decades in my mind. It's just, it feels so hard to go on and on, right, folks?
Well, look, but William Devane cannot get all of the joys and pleasures from this. He cannot be the one that gets all the riches.
It's true.
Some people, other people have to get some out of this.
Speaking of rich people, the big 7-0 for total global legend, Oprah Winfrey.
Wow.
Oh.
Which I would not have guessed Oprah 70. Not
I mean,
at
it
all.
Makes sense when you think about her career, but it's like, sure. She don't look it.
No.
But I assume she's much like the Baron Harkonnen and can float over things and command people at her will.
Yes.
Sure. I can see that happening.
You get a body plug. We all get body plugs.
If you ever meet her, remember the tooth.
Oh, no. Dune references. I forgot I don't know what the hell I did with the photograph, but happy 56th birthday to Ed Burns.
Oh,
filmmaker, actor Eddie Burns, 56 years old.
Yeah, probably looks 70, I'm guessing.
No, I'm sure he looks better than I do, that's for sure.
You look 72.
Yeah, it's true.
You don't know with Eddie Burns though, man, like all the aging from like smoking, arguing with your family.
And the Irish don't age well. That's a real thing.
It's true.
It's hard.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Many things can grow on the noses.
Mm-hmm.
Happy 54th birthday to Roller Girl herself, Heather Graham. Mm.
Oh.
Anybody see that new movie? It's her and Barbara Crampton that's on Shudder. It's another...
the horror. Fuck, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah.
This is how I'm hearing about it.
It's like some... like psycho swaps into Heather Graham's body or something like that. It looks kind of neat.
I watched that vaguely racist Christmas movie she did over the Christmas.
This?
Her and Brandy.
What was it? I don't even know what it was called. You could waterboard me. I wouldn't know the name of it.
But it's like, what's it about though?
I got it. Best Christmas ever. And you bet your ass there's an exclamation mark in the title.
It's like a keeping up with the Joneses, but because it's a white family, like looking at a black family. It's very strange to me. It's very like, look at all those people. Where do they get off being better than us?
And it's like, Brandy has built a life as a successful aeronautics engineer.
Uh-huh.
But Heather Graham is like getting her Christmas letter every year. And she's like, Brandy's family's faking it. They're not that successful. These are all lies. That's not their house. And I'm why don't you give her a call and check in?
This sounds like the best Christmas ever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it super sucked. And also, happy 45th birthday to former teen heartthrob and possible cult leader Andrew Keegan.
Oh, for sure. Cult leader.
I wanted to make sure that was still going before I joined up, you know?
Did you check it out? Is it still happening?
I'm planning on joining a cult in the fall. I have a couple of welcome packets from a different ones. You know, I want to make sure.
They get long pass, like try us out kind of things.
Yeah. They get a bad rap for no reason. You got these old people going to the Catholic Church or the Freemasons or the Elk Lodge, but you can't have a little sex branding party with your friends.
Well, I remember you being on the fence about Nexium before it all came crashing down.
I think I'm pro now.
You are pro Nexium? Okay.
I would love to be pro Nexium. It's like going to a Battlestar Galactica convention. Like, ooh, look at her. Look at her. That's exciting.
Wow, look at all these washed out celebrities here at this cult meeting. Uh-huh. Excellent.
Maybe are we all trying to hunt down Gaddafi's gold or what?
And instead of getting a cool autograph for your DVD collection, they brand themselves on your genitals. It's fine.
I'm sure some of the events are you just have some cake and walk around and talk. You know, I'm sure there's some normal events.
Do you think the woman who played young Aunt Beru was like, they would like do Star Wars screenings a lot. And it was like kind of like a Kevin Smith vibe. Like she was always there for a Q&A.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Oh, I'll fucking talk your ear off about the prequels. Let's do it. Yeah. Another Q&A with that Bonnie or whatever.
You're selling it to me. You're selling it to me.
Well, like, yeah, you can book that as like a talk about my career, and you mix in the Nexium stuff right in there. It could you open it up very easily.
That's how you slither in there, dude. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Oh, yes.
So those are the birthdays. We're going to get to some box office mumbo jumbo now. Kind of a weird nothing week because, man, January is just the worst for movies. This is highest gross. This was kind of great because I didn't have to get any new poster art. I just had to shuffle the order and shit.
Sure.
I appreciated that very much. So fourth last week, fifth this week, anyone but you.
Oh man.
I have not still, but I will say, you know, having a rom-com in the mix is a sign of a healthy ecosystem.
Agreed.
Agreed. I feel like this might survive solely on the Sydney Sweeney Hot Ones meme. This might keep going for another week at least.
What is this? Can you explain this meme to Granddad over here?
Okay, so there is a show called Hot Ones, Grandfather.
I know that much. Okay, I know that, and I know the person. Now combine them for me. Paint the picture.
What do you think? She went on the show.
Okay. And like she's very sexy eating chicken wings is the idea.
Oh, that's definitely doing it for people.
I've
kind of detached from social media in a bit. I've kind of not been logging on. So I've been missing all the great memes.
Oh, you're missing so many great memes. You've
been really bettering your mental health, dude. That's exactly what you're doing.
I wish it was, but no.
I don't know.
You know,
here's the thing, Andrew. Yeah. Yes, it's negative to like doom scroll, as they say.
Yes.
But sitting in a dark room, sipping whiskey, getting more and more bitter is not better for your mental health. That's what you
That's true. You're right. Eric wasn't actually doing anything constructive.
No. Adding bullet numbers to the revenge list.
I hold a grudge, folks.
Steve, you're right. But anyway, this is another $4.8 million. This only had a $25 million budget, so it's safe to say it's a total success. Similarly, with Migration.
Look at these guys. They're just trying to get home or whatever.
Those ducks are goddamn adorable. I'll never see that movie, but those ducks are cute. There you go. How
about it? This will probably be... Like, I always get the big animated things done like 6 months after they came out. Like I know like Chris was right there for Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, like opening
first
weekend.
We all know that.
But I waited like, you know, 6-7 months. Then I saw it and I was pleasantly surprised. I feel it's going to happen with Migration. Also it's January now. You can't be watching a bird migrating in the fall movie. Now I got to wait till like, you know, next November.
Right. My jaw was on the floor. I found out there's a fourth Despicable Me coming out this summer.
Couldn't believe it.
It's only four?
We're only... But the Minions are separate.
I see. Okay. So, all right.
Okay. So I guess that
five or six now.
We're probably due to do an episode of one of those, though.
I think, sadly, yeah. I actually put it in the schedule. So okay,
thank you. Thank you so much, Steven. Thank you.
You know, here's something crazy though. Like I saw the trailer for Migration, obviously, and like the animation looked really good, you know, really professional grade stuff. That movie cost just Where's my numbers now? $70 million. Mm-hmm. We watched that. This is what I'm talking about. We watched Elemental over the weekend. So big animated movie from whatever the fuck it came out. I finally just watched it.
Yeah.
And it also, yes, looks very good. But where is the difference in $130 million? That I could not tell you. I don't know how Elemental was $200 million. Migration was $70 million.
There was something about them hiring a bunch of they did too much subcontracting. Like they got a bunch of different animation houses to work on it at the same time.
Oh, so
and that right. And that had made them go over budget because much of them went over budget.
Also, the cocaine and the naked models to eat sushi off of. That was another problem.
Yeah, you got to do all that. And I mean,
that little flame had a cocaine problem, you're saying?
Keeps on cooking it. He's just got to smoke it, I guess.
They find love in the end, don't they, Andrew? I'm just assuming.
They do find love in the end. I mean, it's not a bad movie. It was just kind of like, all right.
Yeah.
On to the next one, I guess, Pixar.
They haven't had like a big like, oh my god, Pixar back at it, like a movie.
They haven't been inventive in forever. Not to get out of Pixar.
Inside Out maybe is the last one that was.
Yes, that was the last big. Yeah.
And wait for this year with Inside Out 2.
Still haven't, still happy.
You're fine.
Still haven't, still happy. It'll be a rental for me. Wonka in it 3. This thing successfully will have it.
Blows my mind. I can't believe this is so successful. I guess, you know, the Timothy factor is definitely at play. I was hoping we were getting to the point where we were just getting over franchises in general.
No.
Remakes, but we're not. This is only going to add fuel to the fire.
More the kid-centric stuff, you can't stop from franchise. That's always going to have that. I don't think you're going to. I think what you're probably saying is like, MCU, we've been seeing a little bit of a dip, but all the other ones seem to be doing just fine.
I mean, when was the last Willy Wonka movie, Eric? Like 2005 or whenever Tim Burton did that movie? The franchise is geared up.
It's ready. Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
The next time I see Timmy, he'll be wearing a still suit. I guarantee it. That's how it's going to go.
Oh, yep. I'm excited for that one. Speaking of franchise town.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But this movie, over $550 million globally. I mean, it's just insane. I thought the first look at him in that hat and the getup, I was like, this is a failure.
Yeah.
So, hey, happy to be wrong. Happy the box office did as well as it did.
Oh, really? I hate being wrong. I fucking hate it.
No, I know. I know, because you're a fucking
I hate it
stilted
so
adult, dude.
I really do hate it.
Yeah.
Speaking of stuff that I would probably hate, the Mean Girls musical dropping from the top slot here.
Another one I got wrong. Did not think this would do as well as it did. But I don't know what the kids are into. They're watching Hot Ones. They're listening to show tunes or whatever. So there you go.
Well, here's the thing, Eric. I mean, you were wrong about this. I was wrong about this. We could be executives at Paramount because those motherfuckers wanted to put this on P Plus exclusive.
Yeah.
They were about to bypass the theatrical.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, you go, Chris. Eric, sorry.
Oh, no, I was going to say I definitely could be an executive, but go ahead.
Well, you'd be better than David Zaslav. No matter what you did, Eric, you'd have to be better than David.
I don't know. If you give me that power, I might be deleting movies, too. Just to be like, fuck you.
It's whatever. It's 80-some-odd global. Like, it did okay. Like, it's not holding pretty well, that well, but I mean, it's an option for people to go out and go to the theater, folks. So I'm glad Paramount reconsidered that. And wow, look at this. Crawling its way up to the top again. Beekeeper.
Yeah. How?
I need to see it.
There's nothing. There's nothing going on, dude.
I'm sorry. You guys last week, you gave it sort of middling reviews. It's still about a secret society of beekeepers. Yeah. I still need to see this movie.
I do need to see it as well.
Yeah, you do.
You absolutely do.
Hey, fake water in the desert is better than no water in the desert.
Exactly.
Oh, my movie's an oasis in the desert. Yeah. And then just really quickly, some elsewhere around the box office, Zone of Interest, which we talked to y'all about out of New York Film Festival. Doing a nice little $1.1 million this weekend.
I haven't seen that. That's the documentary on Discovery Zone, The Rise and Fall of.
Yes, exactly, dude. Okay. They're talking to so many former foam padding magnates.
And that's
bring the kids.
That sick bastard that started that that zone there. He decided to move his family next to it. It's disgusting.
Oh, it's so disgusting.
Hey, you know what?
Discovery zone. Ugh.
They don't even, they don't get into the rivalry of Chuck E. Cheese.
And yeah, that's unfortunate.
Like, yep, if you're not going to do right. that.
Great. Now I'm envisioning, Chris, and now I'm envisioning a mashup of Zone of Interest and Five Nights at Freddy's. And that would be
I'm sure that would be great.
But yeah, Zone, you know, nominations help, man. It added itself. Well, it's up to 315 screens, which is pretty wild, up from 275.
It's a good movie. Cool. Chilling, chilling movie.
Very, very chilling. Also doing some stuff around the art market. Searchlight Pictures, All of Us Strangers. You know, which I think is a good movie. Wasn't great IMO, but hey, 402K, not too shabby. I like people going out and seeing these smaller movies. And Eric, I got this one in for you, dude. News from the box office front.
Oh,
Oppie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another milestone.
The little movie that could, I guess.
Crosses $90 million in IMAX sales alone in the United States.
Congratulations, Oppie.
It's crazy. And that IMAX gross, dude, worldwide, $187 million. 20% of this movie's fucking gross is IMAX sales.
It's incredible.
Are you going back, Eric? Is it going to happen?
It depends. It depends. I don't know if it's going to happen for sure. Because, you know, I was looking at the IMAX seating charts. They're already like sold. They were sold out the wazoo. Yeah. So it's like if I wanted to be in the front. So I probably won't be going back. But I got the 4K. And I'm always tempted. I always tell my wife, Oppenheimer. She's always like, no.
Never again.
Oppenheimer tonight, queen.
But you did see Tenet in IMAX, though, Eric, right?
Or no.
Just theater to see
it? No. I actually, because I know that that's coming back out in theaters, and I want to have an opinion about it again before it got there.
I bought
the 4K during the pandemic, and I gave Tenet a spin again this weekend, and I liked it more the first time, but I still don't think it's really getting there. They do talk about Oppenheimer in the movie, which is kind of a problem, because now I'm just like, Oppenheimer afterwards?
And another 3.5-hour movie?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I might go see it in the theaters. Big screen do. Hey, speaking of seeing things, you can see us pretty soon, everybody, including this Thursday. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's finally fucking here.
Yeah. This Thursday, moment.co/weatemovies. Tickets are available now, 9 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be doing a live episode. It's going to be a ton of fun. And there's an after party where I'm sure Chris is going to get fall down drunk again.
Every time. It's definitely me.
It's you.
Full on dreading the rewatch. Full on.
Oh, yeah.
Dreading the rewatch.
I still have not.
You're going to hate it. You are going to be in hell.
Who among us had their soul die in the theater?
I went to the theater.
Chris, you didn't see it in the theater?
I did. I see it with Cameron. Me and Cameron, we hung out. We had a nice weekend.
Cameron Ripley. How was his friend, Dr. Torrentino?
Well, you know, Cameron Ripley and the doc, they took a vacation as they do in January. You know, they don't get back into the movie going spirit until early February when the big hits start coming out. And then they're ready to go. Cameron has been calling me, though, and he wishes everybody a happy holiday.
Oh, thanks, sweet. Oh, thank you, Cameron.
That's good. But this Thursday, folks, moment.co/weHateMovies. We're going to be live talking The Flash. If you can't make it, the replay is good for a week after the broadcast, so don't worry about making it that night. If you got something going on, we get it. Hey, folks, life gets in the way sometimes. We're all busy as fuck 7 days after the replay. And then IRL gang, we are going on the road this spring. First up, we're hitting Atlanta, Georgia for the first time in 7 years. So that's definitely the better part of a decade. 425, we're at City Winery, guys. Can you believe that?
Yes.
I can't believe it. You know what?
I don't think this venue is going to smell like mozzarella sticks. Cannot guarantee you, though.
We've played City Wineries before. They're classy joints.
They're nice. They're very nice. Good food as well, folks.
Yes, very tasty.
You know, I'm going to throw us under the bus.
Okay.
Tune in next week on Screen Live when we announce movies for all of these.
Yes, we're going to go. Finally.
Tune in next week. There
you go. We need a deadline.
Next week.
Yes.
Big reveal next week.
Yes. Of all See, thank movies. You for doing that, Steve. Yes. Now our feet are to the fire. We got to figure out these fucking movies.
Now
thank
we
you.
Have to do it.
Yeah, because, you know, we got to, you know, there's always stuff floating around our noodles, but you want to make sure it's like just right. Something that's going to be fun for the crowd, you know, something that the crowd's going to want to rewatch again, you know. So we will figure those out. That's right, Steve. Next Monday on Screen Live, we will reveal what we'll be talking about, not only in Atlanta, Georgia on April the 25th.
No.
Houston Tejas, folks, our Houston debut, Space City, May the 14th at the Houston Improv. How about that?
Do you need to learn stolen baseball signals to go to Houston, or is that just something everyone?
I think only if you're looking to get like residential citizenship. Okay, yeah. You know what I mean? Yes. Residential status.
Yes.
You know, got to learn how to steal them signs.
I'll make that joke here. I ain't making it there. I'll tell you that much. Mm-hmm.
No, dude, they'll put a fucking arrow through you or something. They'll rock at you.
They'll beat you to death.
Nobody's getting beaten to death. We have a great fucking time at the Houston Improv. Jesus Christ, Eric.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I'm kidding around. It's Texas. There's guns. Yeah.
And 5:15 in Austin, Texas, where also things will be fine.
Maybe
we will be at the Cap City Comedy Club.
It will be. It's going to be a fun night.
Everything's going to be fine tour.
Good dude. There you go, dude. That is the name of the tour for the whole year. Yeah. Everything will be fine tour 2024.
We can say it now. We're doing pay it forward. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing.
No plane crashes tour of 2024.
So excited to get back to Atlanta, Georgia, Houston, Texas, first time, and Austin, Texas. Been meaning to get back to Austin, Texas.
Yes.
So come on out to these shows.
Yes, please do.
Austin, not during South by Southwest. Also another plus for when we're coming.
Oh my God. Yeah. You could like breathe in there. Finally.
Mm-hmm. Get a hotel room.
That's right. yeah, both of those things much more easily.
Something we got to do too. Should.
That's right. Ticks at WHMpodcast.com, folks. All right. So, yeah, we've been kind of talking about this for a little bit. I thought this was a bigger story than it was, but you guys weren't hip to it. So maybe I just have more invested in the trailer segment trailer, I guess we'll be talking about here. In a segment, well, we call trailer segment. So Doug Liman has remade Roadhouse with Jake Gyllenhaal in for Swayze. Rest in peace.
Yes.
And I'm of the mind it looks kind of fun.
Okay.
That's just me. As no one else has seen this trailer
yet. I have not seen it.
I have
yet.
Not. Okay. No, I'm saving it for this historic occasion.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to throw this out to the chat. Has anyone remade a movie of a former co-star of theirs, like we have right here, because you've got Donnie Darko. Patrick Swayze is in Donnie Darko with Jake G, and now he's doing Roadhouse. So now this is kind of a, let's think this through. We'll all do some research on that, but I'm curious.
That's really good. And I'm thinking, Steve, we got to get our buddy Corey Everett on the phone from the Cinephile game. Yes. This sounds like a cinephile round. You can make a game out of this.
Yes.
Remaking co-stars movies somehow. Ooh, that's good. Yeah, chat, do your thing and see about that. I don't know. We'll see, guys. We'll see what you have to say about this, and then we'll give the detail about the atrocity that's happening on Amazon. Yeah,
this will be my first time through this trailer as well.
Yeah.
All right. And folks watching along, of course, down in the show description, you can find the exact link to the official Prime Video channel. That's where we're going to watch the trailer. So you can watch along with us or not. Totally fine. But we're going to watch through this guy. Roadhouse 2024, directed by Doug Liman. 3, 2, 1, go.
Before we start, do you have insurance?
What?
Your coverage good?
Yep.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, haha. Is there a hospital nearby? Is it like too far? Like 25 minutes, I think. I just slapped you. Are you
alright? Yes! Yes! He's just dropping dudes.
Oh, yeah, like slap fighting. Nice.
Yeah. Nice. You ever
win? No one ever wins a fight.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But he's sensitive, guys. He's sensitive. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he used to be UFC, huh?
Well, remember, guys, Patrick Swayze was also sensitive. So.
Oh, yes. I mean, from it, Takiro.
Oh, he's in a fight club, though. Mm-hmm. All right, how many times do we say in Roadhouse in this movie?
That might probably be a lot.
I feel like they say it a couple times in Roadhouse, the OG.
Yeah, oh, that's a tight up check. You're right.
Is there going to be an AI Ben Gazzara in this movie? Then I'm in.
Dude, that would be a perk for me.
Yeah, totally.
Or, you know, they could do the, like, Ghostbusters Afterlife route and have a CGI ghost of Patrick Swayze here.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Just get frost all over him for no reason.
He holds his fist. It's like, I can help you punch.
Oh, Roadhouse on a boat. I like this.
Mm-hmm. Dude, Boathouse. This Billy Magnuson guy has never not played a scumbag, and he does it really well. All right, here we go. Look at this. Look at this cartoon character.
Or is this, what should we call it?
Conor McGregor.
Yeah. Conor McGregor, yeah. Is he the Ben McGregor? Is he the Ben Gazzara? Or is he... So he's not Sam Elliott.
No.
No. He's more the Ben Gazzara.
Got it.
Well, I guess Billy Magnuson's maybe more the Ben Gazzara.
Yeah. I forget who the muscle was.
Yeah. Oh, God, dude, no.
Dude, the jacket.
The Joker. He's playing the Joker.
Yep. We got, like, boat fights. We got car fights.
People seem a little aggressive around here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like it does have some exciting set pieces.
Sure.
Broke his arm.
Oh.
I like that there is a very, like, similar kind of comedy vibe, too, which that kind of, whatever you want to call that comedy mode, that's the comedy mode that Jake Gyllenhaal can do really well, I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But so anyway, the craziness of this is, like, this trailer comes out and everybody gets really excited, and then it's, like, no theatrical whatsoever for this movie.
Hmm.
Absolutely no theatrical footprint, straight to streaming. And that did not settle well with director Doug Liman, who was fucking furious, like, immediately posted all this stuff about how it was, like, crazy that this wasn't happening, and he's now boycotting the South by premiere of his own movie.
It's interesting. I mean, like, if Beekeeper can make money, I wonder if it was a thing of, like, hey man, can you get this ready for January? Because I mean, if this movie's got January written all over
absolutely,
because you're not gonna put out or even February, but March, you're getting a little dicey. Like this real movie's coming out, you know what I mean?
Like, put it out when, like, a lot of the country, like, it's cold out. So, mm-hmm. like, now you're looking at beautiful, you know, Florida Keys weather. Cool, you know? But so, yeah, Doug totally being vocal about this, which I think is the right move. Gyllenhaal, I think, was... like, maybe looking to get into it too, but
yeah, I heard that something like his rep sent, like, a screener to Jeff Bezos personally to watch on some yacht, and Jeff Bezos watched it and was like, nah, streaming.
Oh, nice.
The boat theater did not take it well.
Yeah, maybe because it was too mean against boats, you know.
Yeah, it's possible.
Boat fighting, he's like, hey, I love my boats.
I am against violence against boats. I think it's wrong, okay.
Well, it was fine, except they blew up the yacht at the end. It's kind of weird because I was watching it on a yacht.
It was like watching my best friend die.
Yeah, you shouldn't let that Mr. Clean motherfucker decide what happens with your slate. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. That guy doesn't know anything about this business.
I'm shocked he would be making those. Like, I feel like that would be something like a minion of his would be doing. Like, come on. Aren't you balancing global power over there? Come on.
Yeah,
he's not doing anything, dude. No. You know, he's going to space to take a dump.
Oh,
and now this movie's speaking of dump. This movie's just going to get dumped, and no one's going to see it.
Because, like, you think Netflix is bad at burying movies?
Oh my God.
Amazon puts them to shame. Amazon will hide your movie, and I think that honestly, this should, like, I'm glad Lyman's being vocal about this, and I really think it should open some eyes. Like, you know, on the one hand, streamers having all this money to pick up all these movies or whatever has been helpful as far as, like, supporting smaller filmmakers or whatever. But if you're an established filmmaker like Affleck and Doug Liman, all these people, and you're looking to get in bed with places like Amazon, I'm begging you, put in a contract clause that's like, and by the way, we're making this movie with you. Everybody's going to make money on it, mm-hmm. whether it's streaming or whatever. You have to put this out in theaters yeah. in some, like, write that into your shit.
Yeah.
I mean, you know? I just don't know how many people like even have that level of power though. Like, I just read the story about Dev Patel's directorial debut, Monkey Man, which was yeah. supposed to just go directly to Netflix for the longest time. And then Jordan Peele saw it and was like, no, I would like it to come out in theaters. And he became a producer on the movie. He's like, I'll pay Netflix a certain amount of money. We're going to put this out with, I think Universal is going to put it out now.
Yeah, because it's not even, yes.
That's pretty dope. And it's like, great. It looks great. The Monkey Man, yeah. we didn't get to cover yet, but it does. It looks fantastic.
It does.
So like, I think by having good, like asking, showing this to people and being like, hey, put it out there. You like it. You would like to see on the theater. It's yeah. the best you can do now. Like everything else, all other options are exhausted because streaming takes over everything. But like, get yeah. people to like go for your movie. Maybe you got something. Maybe you can put it up there.
And credit where credit's due, Ness in the chat said Edward Norton remade Manhunter and was in the 25th Hour with Brian Cox. So that's I would say that's close but no cigar because it's not the same character. He would need to be in a movie
William Peterson.
William Peterson. But no, that totally counts.
That's very close. That's
very close.
But yeah, if you want the perfect alignment of what Steve's talking about here, where they're playing the same character.
Weird thing, but it is very, very good call, Neth.
You know, that RoboCop remake might be good for this game. I don't know if it is, but I know there's a lot of people in there like Samuel L. Jackson, Gary Oldman, Michael Keaton.
Mm.
Any of them in the original?
Has Joel Kinnaman ever been in a movie with Peter Weller? Good question.
They could play father and son.
True, robot father and son. All right, Steve. Here's a movie about a pretty lousy father, I'd say. You told me not to watch it, but I did rent it last night. I didn't want you to be alone here.
Oh, good.
Swim. Working on my night swim.
This evening. Last week, I was crying about not having a good January horror movie. And this week, I will continue to do so.
Yeah. It's not good. Either this or Founder's Day is good.
No, I mean, not even good horror. But like, I was looking for Bye Bye Man.
Yeah.
An escape room, like good kills. This movie just doesn't have it.
About a haunted pool. It's about a haunted pool.
Am I the only one that did not watch this one?
Yeah, you're the only one.
This movie asks and answers the question, is it a good idea to make a movie about a haunted pool? And the answer is resoundingly no.
We're running out of ideas.
Is it a good idea to stack the cast of your haunted pool movie? Because you have Kerry Condon just coming out of the Banshees of Inisherin.
Academy Award nominee Kerry Condon as the mom in Ghost Pool.
Yes. And Wyatt Russell and the fucking high maintenance guy is hanging out.
Dude, high maintenance guy is like high maintenance guy cleaning a pool. That's all that's going on there, which is fine.
Yeah. And you almost give me a Deadly Game of Chicken Fight, which I'm like, maybe. But then you pussy out at the end of it. So I'm like,
Steroid Shrek. That was a good one. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Because this is like, here's the thing, you know, like this recalls the terrible film, Deathbed, the Bed That Eats.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Better movie. Because that movie, you are getting the deathbed. Like that thing is worked overtime in that movie. This is all like coy. Is there a ghost in the pool?
Yes.
Oh, somebody may be drowned. Like that boyfriend character, like, and this is in the trailer where they're playing Marco Polo. That boyfriend character should be fucking capital D dead, dude. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Exactly.
Why did you not kill that guy?
Also, ghosts belong in lakes.
Yes.
I agree actually on that.
Well, dude, that's the thing, Eric. There's something about like blobbity blow. This used to be a haunted crick. 300 years ago.
Yes. You know what? You're selling me on it.
Buried on, you know, you built this on a haunted crick is what you did.
That's what it is. Yep. That's one part. That's where we're like, all right, we already are skittish about our haunted pool idea. And then when it's like, oh, you swallowed the pool water. Now you're evil. No, it always has to be in the pool. Everybody needs to be in and around the pool. You can't be leaving the pool doing scary stuff.
Yeah, chlorine will make you evil. Don't eat it.
And any day. And like this, I mean, what they're doing, this is Amityville Horror, is yes, what they're doing. That's the, I mean, and those movies are boring as sin. Yes. Except for the one with Burt Young is fucking nuts.
Whoa,
that one is crazy. If you ever get a chance to see it.
I might need to go through all those.
It's the second or third one, and Burt Young's the father. It is one of like the darkest films I've ever seen.
They're probably amping up the domestic violence by 20 to 30%.
Really bad, yeah. Like really severely. It's yeah, crazy. Uh-huh. Otherwise they're boring as sin, those movies.
But Eric, there's no way you're gonna watch all of those Amityville's, because I think it was our good buddy Josh Lewis, who watched all of those, because that right. Like the Amityville thing's kind of like a fair use whatever. So there's like 30 of those movies. Oh, Lewis watched.
I kind of meant the ones that were made with money.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. No. Exactly.
Ones that were released.
So anyway, fucking Death Pool, what, Night Swim. That's, I mean, it's yes, like, it's so tame, you know?
Yes, and it
like,
is so tame.
You have to lean into the stupidity of your concept for this. Yes. And it, like, it would have been fun, but we're really just trying to take ourselves so seriously with a haunted pool movie.
Cause we're trying to do like, you know, oh, it's about something. It's not about anything. It really isn't about anything. It's not about like, oh man, isn't it difficult to be a baseball player's son?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What,
right.
Well, is it?
Well, that is the funniest part of the movie, when a possessed Wyatt Russell is like, yeah, my son should be sacrificed. Cause really, when you think about it, he's a total loser.
Instead of a lifeguard, do they got a death guard?
See, these are great ideas, Eric. You should have been in the pitch room.
You should have been.
I mean, there was, it kind of calls back the black phone also, cause you're talking from other dimensions.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. Yeah, because there's a pool dimension, folks.
Really?
There's a whole pool dimension. It's kind of like Lady in the Water a little bit.
Oh, baby. Oh, man.
Like, and you have all of, like, that sounds dumb, right? Pool dimension, so sure. Dumb.
But are there cocoon aliens in there, maybe, in the pool?
You don't really see there's, like, some ghosts or whatever. Oh, like, previous victims of the pool.
Oh, that's cool.
But this is, it's shot and played, like, Talk to Me or something. Like, it takes itself so seriously.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I know that's a fucking Monkey's Paw movie and whatever, but it's a pool, folks. It's a pool.
It's a haunted pool. Let's have some fun with it. And just, exactly. Maybe a life raft comes to life and eats somebody and takes them in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Some blood, digital blood. I mean, I hate digital blood, but even that I will take just to give some juice to this fucker.
Just anything. And it doesn't have it. And like, let it be. I was realizing, because I paid like the $20 rental for it. It's Universal. You know that shit's going to be on Peacock sooner than later. I saw that Universal logo come up and I was like, oh yeah.
Surprised it isn't already. I figured by now.
So was I actually double checked on Just Watch before.
Right,
I
but the tradition for Peacock is to put the new Halloween movies directly there. Yeah. And
yes,
not bigger titles first.
But Ghost Pool, dude. Strict 2-month theatrical window.
Yeah, exactly.
So I wanted to just tell you dudes and everybody at home some stuff that I was checking out at Sundance this weekend. The rentals of Sundance. I wasn't there. But Sundance is always kind of a grab bag. And especially with like the narratives, you can sometimes come out with not so many good titles. But there were some things here that I enjoyed.
Trash festival. We're saying it. We're not afraid of them.
Yeah. The all-powerful Sundance Live.
Oh, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. Don't send Butch Cassidy after me.
Yeah, sure. So this first one, it's a new one from this filmmaker, Nathan Silver. Hyper independent filmmaker, dude. It's called Between the Temples. It's Jason Schwartzman as a Jewish cantor that works at a temple, and he's having like a crisis of faith thing, and he is asked by what's her face there from Taxi,
Carol Kane,
thank you, I was blanking on her name. Carol Kane wants to have a mitzvah at the age of 73, so it's like, it's kind of like Jewish Harold and Maude a little bit. They start like spending time together. Sean Price Williams shot it on Gorgeous 16 in upstate New York, Eric. So it, like a lot of fucking lush forestry. It's really beautifully shot. It's also fucking funny and like ass clenchingly so.
Oh man. If nobody knows, Nathan Silver, I really suggest you, he's been putting out a couple of independent movies for a while now. This, I think, is his biggest stars. I think most of the time he works with non-professionals or like theater people. There's a great movie called Uncertain Terms he made about a camp for teen mothers. It's really, really good. And then his first movie, if you can find it, it's called Soft in the Head. Fantastic movie, also about a Jewish crisis of faith. All of them. The one thing that keeps them all together, all of them are going to make your ass fucking go up inside you. They just hang on the most awkward fucking moments in your life, just like, and just drag it out. It's unbelievable, but fantastic as well.
Do you think Nathan Silver gets upset if you ask him who's going to win the next election?
Oh, big time. Yeah, I'm sure he does a real like, oh, I haven't heard that one before. and then doesn't answer you and just kind of turns to someone else at the dinner party.
No, thank you so much. 538, my ass.
The other thing that's cool is because it's shot on 16 by Price Williams and has Jason Schwartzman in it, it has a real vibe of an Alex Ross Perry movie. So if you think of like that dude's kind of wavelength, it's sort of that. Not picked up yet by anybody. I guess that's this dude's thing. This is like his ninth feature and none of his movies see like big distribution. So maybe with some you know, the Carol Kane-ness of it all.
Star the power, yeah. Maybe, yeah. Some Oscar buzz, possibly.
Absolutely. Now, this is a movie, speaking of all of our kvetching about theatrical, this movie, Skywalker's A Love Story, is what it's called here, a new one from Jeff Zimbalist. This sold to Netflix out of the festival. And like, boy, if there's anything that you would want to see in a huge fucking screen, like IMAX, this is a movie about this Russian couple that are these like thrill-seeking acrobatic climber people. And they ascend to like the tops of spires on skyscrapers and like do videos and poses for photos and stuff like that.
They're pursued by Darth Vader. Is that right?
That's exactly right. No, but it's just like, it's all of this really crazy GoPro, like high up in the sky kind of footage.
Is it a doc or is it a narrative?
It's a doc. Okay. And so it's crazy. Like you're watching their footage as they're like ascending these things. And so it's all centered around the biggest project that they work on. Some, super skyscraper that was supposedly like the last planned super skyscraper for the next decade or something. Hmm. And it has all this insane security and like, we're going to get in there. Everybody keeps getting arrested before they get to the top. We're going to get to the top. So it's like all centered around that. So it's also like heisty kind of. It very much plays like a thriller.
They break some guards' necks before they start climbing.
They are in jail now. It's true.
we're definitely like dodging people or whatever. But the thing is, I think that the climb for this big one is in, I think it's in Thailand. And they do not fuck around with like trespassing laws and stuff. So the whole thing too is like, if they get caught doing this thing, which is what you're watching the movie for, they go to jail for like several months.
Yeah.
And you're in a fucking South Asian prison.
I mean, hey, you get to make an easy sequel then. You get to make this and then you get to make your version of Midnight Express.
Yes.
Right there. Yes. You just get to switch right over there. Uh-huh. Very easy.
But it is so watchable. The footage is fucking crazy. And it reminds me, reminds me of is the Man on Wire doc.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a lot of similar, like we're planning to do this super illegal thing and we're filming it all the time. So that was pretty cool. Real quick, just another one, film from Northern Ireland. It is called Kneecap. And this is about this Irish language rap group called Kneecap. The real dudes play themselves in this movie and Michael Fassbender plays one of the kids' fathers. And so it's like, it's this whole thing about like the idea of keeping the Irish language alive. Like it was fucking outlawed at points in history, you know? So it's all about that. And like most of the movie is in Irish, which was very fascinating, like new to my ear. Yeah. And like Fassbender's, going through it. He's fucking great in the movie. It's good. Like, it's like you definitely got Michael Fassbender. So a company like Sony Pictures Classics would buy this, which they did. And sometimes those can be kind of thankless and it's like, oh yeah, they just got whoever, but like it's Michael Fassbender. He's fucking doing it up. He's like an ex IRA dude that, faked his own death. for political reasons and whatever. But yeah, this dude, Rich Pepiat, this is like his first feature. I'm pretty sure he directed a bunch of music videos for these guys. But it's super fucking funny. It's like kitchen sink drama, but it took ecstasy. You know, it's like the music is crazy. It's shot really interestingly, very, you know, kinetic kind of hyper sort of stuff. Yeah, big recommend on that one. And then finally, totally charming coming of age film called Dee Dee.
That picture ain't selling it on me.
No, well, it's, I got to tell you, it's a bad frame because that is from like, it's a 2008 period piece. So feel free to feel like a skeleton at any point. But this Sean Wong, the director here, feature debut, he was 13 in 2008. So this is like very, you know, personal story. And what that terrible frame is them, like they set off a firecracker in a mailbox and he's filming it on like a little video camera and they're running away from it.
Yeah.
So like it does not exemplify what the movie actually is. It's like, not a found footage thing. It's
like an autobiographical documentary kind of a thing.
Well, no, it's a full-on narrative.
Oh, okay.
Like that's a little kid actor in that frame.
Got it.
But he's using a camcorder.
Sure.
So it looks like it's a documentary in that moment. But I thought the same thing when I saw the frame for it. Yeah. But it's a narrative. Joan Chen plays the mother. She's incredible.
Wow.
She has this like it's Joan Chen getting this like meaty supporting role. Really, really great. But yeah, it's just, you know, the kid is Taiwanese American and he's living it up in Northern California, trying to navigate, you know, being in high school and all that shit. Very coming of age, very sweet. You know, with like a little bit of an edge to it. It's not really a super polished existence. You know, not many teenage existences are. It's so watchable. It hasn't sold to anybody yet, but I'm sure somebody's going to pick it up. Just a totally charming little bit of movie making there. And yeah, there was like a lot of not great stuff. I didn't want to harp on that, but that's just some stuff that I definitely think people should keep their eyes peeled for. Should something come out. Now,
very cool.
Something I don't think anyone's going to want to keep their eyes peeled for, and I would say avoid it. Eric, we'll see how you feel in this week's secret movie.
It's not good.
Dolph Lundgren's directorial effort. Dolph Lundgren stars in Wanted Man.
Also, you know what? Bryce just told me already. I'm already in. I'm watching it right now.
Watch it. It's also co-written by Dolph Lundgren.
Did you do the score as well?
I don't know, Chris, but one of the other writers wrote probably the worst Gary Busey movie to exist, Ghost Rock, 2003's Ghost Rock.
Whoa, dude. If you're saying the worst of a Gary Busey movie to exist, that's pretty low. He was in 4 Ginger Dead Man movies.
Yeah. Ginger Dead Man is way better than Ghost Rock.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Shit. So is it a Western? What is the movie?
It's a Western. Yeah, it's just filmed on one of those tourist attraction towns out west, and it's like zero budget, zero anything, really poorly written, no real direction. Anyway, Dolph Lundgren's a better director than Ghost Rock's director. I forget the guy's name, but this movie is it's trash. It's also trying to make you just, you know, remember everyone, remember that the best cops are 70 years old.
It's insane. Like the movie starts with him, like there's been an outcry because he was filmed abusing a fucking Mexican person, and like
sounds like a good reason for an outcry, dude.
Yes, saying Mexican lowlife, and
all this shit.
The original script was probably way worse.
Yeah, it was like, Dolph, you can't scratch that out, put something else in. But so like this happens, and it's not like, okay, you're fucking 70, whatever. Just retire. You're done.
Yeah.
It's like, here's this special mission to Mexico that you have to go on as punishment.
Uh-huh.
I don't think so.
And guess what? Things go tits up and he ends up laying in a bed for most of the movie.
Okay.
Well, here's the funny thing. Like, because I follow him on Instagram, and a while back he had like knee surgery or some shit. I think like he was making this movie like physically in pain because he's like, he's just limping all over this movie.
I was watching it physically in pain.
I but just didn't don't... it look like he was actually injured making this movie? Like he was walking around with a chronic injury.
It did look like that. And it really worked against the narrative of, hey, let the old guy do the cop thing again because he's good at it. But when he's walking around like that, you're just,
yeah, it's like, well,
you want him to sit, like, please have some soup or something. Sit down.
Did all of the criminals have twisted ankles? Was he able to, is that the only way he was able to? Because I don't understand why, like, I guess it's all like what, computer crimes?
Well, he ends up like escorting a prisoner, and this woman becomes like, he's just like, he learns to understand that not every Mexican is evil the course of the film.
Smart.
That's really what it's about. And then,
but like the ending, he kind of doesn't though, like he's just the same dude, and like of course he's gonna like get with this woman that he's like protecting throughout the movie, right? And the last scene is them like at the courthouse or some shit, and he's like, oh hey, what's up, hot Mexican lady? And I'm like, you've learned nothing from this experience, dude. Like it's so fucking terrible, and
it has twists, maybe just one that you could see coming 10 miles away.
Because why else is Kelsey Grammer in your movie?
Mm-hmm.
But his character meets an end that's very funny.
Yeah.
It almost makes the other grueling 94 minutes worth it.
The thing is, like, if Kelsey Grammer or Dolph Lundgren had some swagger in these roles, it's crazy to even say that, but there could be something that's watchable here, but it really doesn't feel like anyone cares.
Yeah. No, nobody gave a shit. And I don't know if you're to believe this on the trivia or what, it says that Dolph was trying to get this movie made since 2006. Was it really like a 15-year plus passion project?
What were the blockades? What were the things that were stopping you from doing this?
Common sense, reason.
Money?
Money.
I can't get $234,000 together. It's so close. We're at 231. We went at 231 for 4 years.
I will say, though, speaking of budgetary stuff, not all the way through, but there are some real squibs here and there.
There are some creative uses of gunplay. One moment I liked, maybe the only part I liked, was when he shoots a fence, and you see like the fence is rigged to blow up, and then the actor behind it has blood on his back and falls over. I'm like, that's a cheap, good way to get that effect.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So you're kind of thinking of some things here and there, but overall, Wanted Man. I did not want it, man.
Mm. Perfect review.
That's my fucking DVD cover review. But that is going to do it for this week, folks. Big week, as always, with the releases. But just to, if you are playing catch up, last Thursday, we dropped this month's Melrose 210.
Big episode, 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Oh, yes,
big one. But, you know, Joe was on trial for murder, and Steve Sanders was having to protect a nerd. Mm-hmm. You know,
we talked about Jenny Garth posting a certain animal's genitalia on Instagram. Yep.
Yes, that's where the extra 20 minutes went.
A big one. Yes.
So it was a little bit before we got talking about the TV shows, if you know what I mean.
Genitalia talk on that Melrose 210.
Every time.
And then Friday, we jogged into the weekend with the Nexus. Oh. Fucking Charles Napier playing some of the worst music you'll ever hear in your life.
Genitalia talk on the next note.
As well, yes. Also.
Well, sure.
It's kind of always.
Yeah, just swinging everywhere.
No, I think we were bringing up the horse cock from the Melrose episode.
I'm sure you were.
I was trying to dance around it and not be so crude on YouTube. But
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Dainty YouTube.
The horse's magnificent genitalia. Speaking of magnificent genitalia, tomorrow Saw X is out. We are wrapping up some of the biggest brain scratchers from last year and got a big old episode about that. And if you're on our Patreon at the $8 level and up, you can watch or listen, rather, to the Saw X episode ad-free on that Patreon. And then Friday, release-wise, we love movies all about Dune 84.
Yeah.
This was an exciting, fun-ass conversation. A lot of Dune nerdery. A lot of Patrick Stewart nerdery.
We had a ball talking about Dune 1984, and I'm excited for that to drop. But don't forget Thursday, we're doing a digital worldwide experience on The Flash, 2023's The Flash.
Yes.
Yes. On 9 p.m. Eastern, moment.co/wehatemovies. We'll be talking about all your favorite flashes and cameos and other things that shouldn't be in feature films.
No, all that. We will be catching all the babies. We will
be
getting all the microwaves. Don't
there
worry
has to be a living descendant of George Reeves. And I just want to know how that person feels about the movie The Flash.
If it's anything like the Christopher Reeves kids, not great. The answer is
they had vocal beef. Good for them.
They did. Yeah, there's a new doc which I do want to see on
that
on
was at Sundance. Yeah,
they were talking about that, and they're like, yeah, nobody called us for anything, and that looked terrible.
Sure did.
Wow. I honestly hope Nicolas Cage and Kevin Smith's children speak out about this. I don't have the best history with Kevin Smith, but hey,
are you telling me Kevin Smith is in that movie?
Well, no, it's something
related.
Oh, yeah, right. Yes. I know what you're referencing now. Yes.
Yeah, but that was also quite terrible. But yes, Thursday night, y'all. Catch us live 9 p.m. Eastern, moment.co/wehatemovies. I am dreading rewatching that movie for a second and final time. But this is our biz, folks, and we're happy to do it for you this Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern, moment.co/wehatemovies. That's going to wrap it up for this week's On Screen Live. Until next Monday, when we definitely will tell you all what we're playing on those live dates we're talking about movie-wise. We are definitely doing that next Monday. That's right. Thank you, Steve. Until then, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siskin.
Chris Cavan.
Have a good week, y'all. Bye-bye.